Good morning. I'm glad you're here. Please pray with me. Our Father, we bow before you this morning in humble adoration. We thank you for sending your Son to be the Savior of your people. We thank you for sending him to save us from our sins. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We pray that he might be exalted this day in our hearts, in our thinking, and across the world. Father, there are some of us that are sick, and you said in Holy Scripture that we should pray for the sick, and we pray that you administer healing grace to them. And Father, there are some of us that are traveling, and the early saints prayed for Christians as they traveled. And Father, we pray that you would bless our brothers and sisters that are away, that are traveling. Would you bring them back to us safely? We thank you for our families. We thank you for the gatherings of recent days when we've been able to see those that we love that are far, far away. Would you bless them? Would you bless us? Would you encourage us this day? We ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, saints, nothing new this morning. An observation, a new year is coming. But hopefully a very simple word of encouragement. Bill, I want to be an encourager. I want to be an encourager of God's people. In the way. I want to encourage you in the way. And Jesus is the way. In the first chapter of Genesis, the Bible teaches, God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. Genesis 1, 14 and 15. According to Holy Scripture, the cycles that we experience on this planet, the star signs in the night sky, the four seasons, the 24-hour day, the 365-day year, except on leap years, these were designed by Almighty God on the fourth day of creation as an integral part of the created order. So, as the year of our Lord 2019 draws to a close, and we anticipate the coming of the year of our Lord 2020, remember, the coming new year is from the Lord. The coming new year is of the Lord. He made time. And he is Lord and master of it. And he ordained our marking of time, the signs, the seasons, the days, the months, the years. Now, I'm sure that you've heard this saying, "Aim at nothing and you will surely hit it." You heard that? Aim at nothing and you will surely hit it. And brothers and sisters, listen, I don't want for us, you and me, I don't want for us to be aimless in 2020. Now, the opposite of aimless is targeted. It's targeted. My boys are both accomplished basketball players, and since they've worked in practice with Coach Elton Drake, they've become much better shooters. And it's because of practice and focused targeting. Coach Drake hosts Shooters Clinic, and he has a technique, and he teaches them how to shoot. And if you'll listen, and if you'll practice, you'll become a better shooter. When they shoot, they're aiming. They're lining up. They're focusing. They're locking on. And then they're firing. They don't aim ready fire or fire aim ready. They ready aim fire. And since we've been a basketball family now for quite a long time, I've probably, Jeannie, witnessed hundreds of hours, I'm guessing, of youngsters throwing up basketballs. And I love the game. I've seen incredibly athletic kids steal a basketball over and over and over again and then sprint down the court with everyone else way down there, only to repeatedly miss layups. Gimme points. Because of poor focus, aimlessness. They steal the ball, but they couldn't score it. And I can remember telling Jeannie, if I was the coach, and I'm not a coach, if I was the coach, that kid would do nothing the entire next practice except layups. We should have had 40 points off those steals. Well, you know who I might be talking about? Listen, beloved, what we target is what we will hit. What we aim at is what we'll hit. And if we aim at nothing, we will surely hit it. So I don't want us to be aimless in 2020. I want us to be focused, Christians, on growth, development, maturity. The apostolic writer to the Hebrews expresses his desire for the people of God this way. He says, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Hebrews 6:1. Well, that's the King James Version. In the ESV, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity. Grow up. Let's grow up. Let's grow. If you are a resolution maker, maybe you should make some. But I want to share a few verses with you this morning that I hope will help us not to be aimless, but targeted in the new year. Some strategy and tactics for a new year. Some strategy and tactics for a new year. Please turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. The great apostle is writing to this young bishop, Timothy. He's teaching him how to deepen his own faith. And he's teaching him how to be an overseer in the church. And in verse 7 of 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul tells him, exercise thyself unto godliness. Do you see that? Exercise thyself unto godliness. The New American Standard renders it, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. The English Standard Version says, train yourself for godliness. Now, we've noted many times that the word godliness is a contraction. Godliness is a contraction. Godliness is God-likeness. Godliness. So the apostolic exhortation from Paul to young Timothy is exercise. Work out. Train yourself. Discipline yourself with a specific target in your sights. And the target that you're aiming at is God-likeness. Godliness. And Paul is using athletic imagery here. The Greek word for train, discipline, exercise here is gymnazo, where we get our English word, gymnasium, the place of training. We go into the gym to work out. It's a place of training. So the idea for Timothy here from Paul is he wants Timothy to be aiming at something, to be focused on something, to be exercising, training, disciplining himself. For what? Godliness. For God-likeness. Listen, if you want to be able to play basketball, watching the Mavericks won't do much for you. They are highly advanced players. If you want to be able to play basketball, you've got to get in a gym and dribble and shoot and receive some instruction and practice and practice and exercise and train. And listen, the target of godliness will not be hit. Saints, listen, the target of godliness won't be hit unless we're aiming at it. There's no magic pill for godliness. Rather, the apostolic idea is it's through training, through exercise, hard work. That's how saints achieve godliness. You know why people play the lottery? People play the lottery because they want wealth without labor. I don't want to work for it. I want to get lucky. They want financial means without the discipline of regular hard work, without disciplining themselves to live within their means. You know, if your outgo exceeds your upcome, then your if your outgo exceeds your income, then your upkeep becomes your downfall. You got to save more than you got to spend less than you make. It takes discipline. Many times, those lottery winners are only wealthy people for a very short period of time. You read about this? And it's because they're foolish. Their method of seeking wealth, buying a lottery ticket, didn't do anything to prepare them for being a wealthy person. But listen, not so. Not so with exercise targeted at godliness. Paul tells Timothy, bodily exercise profiteth a little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. 1 Timothy 4:8. The New International Version puts it this way, physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Wow. Do you understand Paul's encouragement here? He's teaching Timothy that training, exercise, discipline that's targeted at godliness has a double whammy. It will benefit you now in this life on this fallen planet. Godliness will benefit you now. And it will benefit you in the life to come. Life on a redeemed, recreated, redeemed, restored planet. In other words, it'll benefit you in the resurrection. It will benefit you forever. Godliness will. That's Paul. To be godly is to be like God. And listen, that comes from knowing Him more deeply and actively seeking to draw near to Him. Actively seeking to draw near to Him. The apostolic promise is, draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. James 4:8. And that's what we're seeking. Listen, that's what we're seeking when we target godliness. Have you ever heard someone say of another saint, a great compliment, he's close to God? I ask her to pray for me because I believe God hears her. I know she's a praying lady. She's godly. So what's our strategy? What's our strategy? Listen, first, let us be, listen, if you're a note taker, you can write this down. First, let us be purposeful. I've shared with you on more than one occasion the power of purposefulness, the power of a made-up mind. When the Hebrew children were carried away captive into dark Babylon, the Bible says Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Daniel 1:8. Daniel purposed in his heart. That's the old King James Version. Daniel made up his mind. That's the New American Standard and the NET Bible. Daniel resolved. That's the New International and the ESV. Purposing in the heart, making up the mind, resolving. And you remember the results of Daniel's purposefulness. The results were godliness and favor. Daniel stood before the king. And the king inquired of him. The king found him 10 times better than all the magicians and the astrologers that were in all his realm. Daniel 1:19-20. So saints, listen. Let us purpose ourselves for godliness in the new year. Let's make up our mind. Let's set our hearts. Let's resolve. Let's be purposeful. Could we discipline ourselves? Disciple ourselves to be more like God in the new year? That's a strategy, a purpose. But what are our tactics? What shall be our tactics? Well, listen, we don't need anything new. What we need is something really old. Something that has worked for all saints since the beginning. Here's a tactic. If you are not already, then put into place a recurring daily time to read Holy Scripture. It doesn't have to be a long time, but it should be enough time to allow you to read and consider, or to read and meditate on what you've read. Listen, what we schedule normally gets done. So if you need to put a recurring appointment on your smartphone, then do it. What we schedule normally gets done. If we aim at nothing, we'll hit it. So what we're trying to do is to definitively target godliness. I'm aiming at it. So, to set aside some time for spiritual exercise is good. It's good. I go to the gym 4 days a week, right after I get off from blah, blah, blah. My wife knows I'm not going to be home until, because I'm going there. It's scheduled. Oh, man, you're looking good. What happened? Oh, I'm working out. It's on my calendar. Here's another tactic. Add scripture memorization to your spiritual exercise regimen. Another tactic, add scriptural memorization to your spiritual exercise regimen. Listen, if you learned one Bible verse a week, at the end of 1 year, you would know more than 50 Bible verses. Think about that. At the end of 10 years, you would know more than 500 Bible verses. Jesus, who is our example, our pattern, according to Holy Scripture, didn't carry a scroll with him when he went into the desert, in the wilderness. And Satan came to tempt him. But he resisted successfully. Jesus did. And his resistance involved recurring recitation of memorized scriptural truth. Do you notice that? He quoted Holy Scripture to the devil. And the devil... The apostolic promise is, listen, resist the devil and he will flee from you. James 4:7. And the tactical method that our Savior employed, our example, the tactical method that Jesus used to resist Satan was the recitation of memorized scripture. And Matthew records, the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Matthew 4:11. And Luke records, when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Luke 4:13. I know that you know many verses of Holy Scripture support this practice of memorization of Holy Scripture. The entirety of the longest psalm in the Bible, Psalm 119, argues for it. Especially verses like, Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119:11. And through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Psalm 119:104. And thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119:105. Or from the New Covenant Scriptures. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. And as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. 1 Peter 2:2-3. Now, beloved, my point is that the memorization of Holy Scripture is not a novel idea. It's been the practice of the saints since antiquity. And it was the practice of our Savior. So we should do it. If we're going to target godliness, we should do it. So, another tactic. Add scriptural memorization to your spiritual exercise regimen. Listen, the younger you start, the easier it is, and the longer you'll retain it, and the longer it'll benefit you. I can remember many verses that I learned as a child, but it's harder to memorize and retain verses that I'm working on now. It's still a good exercise. Eric, I was extremely blessed by your summer reading challenge. I might do it again. And though I benefited from that survey reading, I've also benefited greatly from slower, close reading of Holy Scripture. Listen, let's purpose to do some of both in 2020. Another tactic in our training program, in our discipleship regimen, is the ancient Christian practice of prayer. Even the incarnate God, Jesus, our Savior, prayed with frequency and with regularity. Bill asked us recently in one of our afternoon services, would you like to pray more? And many of us nodded our heads. Yes, I would. Well, saints, listen, let's be practical about it. Maybe schedule it and be realistic about it. Maybe sometimes you need to pray for an hour. But much more likely, what you need is just to seek the Lord on a brief but regular basis. He knows what we need before we ask. We're not in a monastery. We don't have to drag this thing out forever. Righteous Daniel prayed 3 times a day. He just made it a practice. And then he stuck to it. That's how they were able to pin something on him. He does it every day. And here's a practical suggestion. Listen, make a list. When there's a prayer request at church, write it down. Listen, if you write it down, even if you lose your list, lots of times you remember it just because you wrote it down. You might not even need your list. Just the fact that you wrote it down will often help you remember it. But listen, also, write down the names of some friends, some loved ones that you are praying to God to save. And I know, saints, aren't you praying for some specific people? God, oh, I would love to see his scalp on your belt. It'll make you more aware of opportunities that you might have to share the good news of Jesus. But listen, you could show your list to the Lord. And that's scriptural. You remember, Hezekiah said, God, look at this. You remember that? He went to the house of the Lord and showed him the letter. As part of his prayer, and God responded. So the tactic is prioritize prayer. Like an exercise program, just do it. Listen. You won't be sorry. You won't be sorry. And here's another tactic. Memorize these two verses. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And then work on it. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That's the King James Version. The NIV says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. None of that's illegal. And the idea is this. Listen, we're targeting godliness, godlikeness. And the fruit of God's Spirit, listen, the fruit of God's Spirit is what godliness looks like in human form. It's what it looks like. The Spirit of God produces this fruit. This is what it looks like in a person. So targeting godliness is targeting love. Targeting godliness is targeting peace. Targeting godliness is targeting gentleness. Targeting godliness is targeting kindness and self-control and patience and goodness If you're not sure what love looks like practically, well, study or memorize 1 Corinthians 13. And then work on it. Listen, you can work on these yourself. But take an inventory. Do a little personal evaluation. And target godliness in whatever section of the fruit needs to be built up in you. Do you need to work on gentleness? Do you need to work on kindness or self-control? Well, just do it. Here's another tactic. Target godliness. Another tactic. Control your media exposure. Control your media exposure. When Paul was an old man, cold and imprisoned in Rome, he found out that Timothy was coming to visit him. And so he wrote a letter to Timothy, and he earnestly entreats Timothy and says, "When you come, bring with you the cloak that I left in Troas with Carpus. And bring the scrolls, but especially the parchments." 2 Timothy 4:13. The Prince of Preachers, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, commented on this verse. And he said, listen, speaking of Paul, "He is inspired, yet he wants books. He's been preaching at least for 30 years, and yet he wants books. He's seen the Lord, and yet he wants books. He had had a wider experience than most men, and yet he wants books. He had been caught up into the third heaven and heard things which it is unlawful for a man to utter, and yet he wants books. He's written the major part of the New Testament, and yet he wants books." End quote. Paul, the great apostle, wanted good books. Saints, listen, we should read good books, and we should not read bad books. We don't have time. 150 years ago, books and newspapers were probably the media that most folks interacted with. Movies and televisions and the internet weren't around, and the theater was only available to the wealthy. Now, all that has changed in our day, where something called screen time is something that young parents now discuss. Jeannie and I never discussed screen time with any of our kids when we were, it wasn't a thing yet. Screen time. Now, listen, it's interesting that parents are discussing and are concerned about screen time. That tells me that they understand something. They understand that it's worth considering, that it's something worth being concerned about, because it's influential. And saints, listen. It's not just our children that we should be concerned about. It's ourselves as well. In addition to the media that the saints 150 years ago had to deal with, mostly books and newspapers, we now have movies and television and internet, various social media platforms, web logs, YouTube, Snapchat, whatever the newest one is. I believe it was in late 2018, maybe early last year, I determined that one of the social media sites, actually an application, was chewing up way too much of my time. And usually I came away from it fired up about one thing or another. So I decided to take a fast from it. And I deleted the application from my smartphone so that I couldn't easily access it. I didn't delete my ID. I could still go log into it, but, you know, actually, I don't believe I've ever logged back in. And listen, I'm better off without it than I was with it. And when I look at the time I spent on it on a week, it was a lot. Saints, listen. Read good books. Saints, try to watch good movies and try to stay away from bad ones. Listen, master your technology. Do not let your technology master you. Are you listening? Master your technology. Do not let your technology master you. Technology is wonderful. And as we are able, we should leverage it for good. But master it. Don't let it master you. Those of us who have been here for a long time have been greatly benefited and blessed by having Hal Brunson as our teacher and preacher for many years. And listen, he always tried to push us higher. He said, read good books. I can remember being with Brother Hal and someone saying, here's a book, would you read it? And he said, I don't want to be offensive, but I won't. And I was standing there and thought, wow. It was a Christian book. And they said, why not? And he said, I've got so many great Christian books I'm trying to work through. I don't have time for this. And it was the newest thing on the block, whatever it was at the time. The idea was, I haven't read Calvin yet. Why would I get excited about blah, blah, blah? Well, there's some wisdom in seeing what the errors of our day are. But there's a lot of truth, too, there, to what he said. Why would I read something good when I haven't even got through this that's great? Maybe a worthy goal would be to read something that you consider hard. My son's been doing physical therapy to try to build his knee back up. And he's in his second round with a different series of therapists. And these latter ones that he's working with, everything they make him do is very hard. But his knee's a lot stronger. And he'd been through the mild therapy. Now he's doing the tougher stuff. And he's finding out, and it's stronger. It still doesn't feel right, but it's stronger than it was. Maybe a worthy goal would be to read something you consider hard. Listen, I can tell you, I've done it many times, and I'm not near as easily intimidated as I used to be. I have sometimes had to read with the dictionary in my other hand, and that slows you down. But listen, we humans are the crown of God's creation, and we ought to act like it. I can read, and you can too. And I believe that part of the reason that there's a drought of Bible reading in our day is because other media, for instance, video, are so much easier to engage in. It's so easy. But listen, if you only ever lift lightweight, your muscles will never get very strong. If all you ever do is just lift the light stuff, you won't ever get very strong. If you only engage with easy media, video, your life will show it. You should discipline yourself. Listen, you should discipline yourself and exercise. Read some good books. There is no shortage of good books, even good Christian books. And especially you young ones, please listen. Let me tell you something. The books that you read And the friends that you make will have a profound impact on your thinking for years and years and years to come. So, you should choose your friends and your books wisely. I'm going to say that again. The books you read and the friends you make will have a profound impact on your thinking for years and years and years. And so, you should choose your friends and your books wisely. Now, here's another tactic. Be an encourager. Be an encourager. The apostolic writer to the Hebrews counsels, let us consider one another, how to provoke one another unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the matter of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. The Net Bible puts it this way. Listen, let us take thought of how to spur one another on to love and to good works, not abandoning our own meetings, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and even more so as you see the day drawing near. Do you hear what the apostolic writer is saying? He's saying, consider this. Spend some intellectual energy thinking about it. What could I do? What could I say that would encourage my fellow believers? Something worth thinking about, the apostle says. Think about this. We don't all think the same way. We don't all think the same things. But the general instruction to the early Christians was, hey y'all should think about this. How can you encourage one another? What could you say? What could you do? Holy Scripture calls Christians to be in community. And surely we all live in geographic communities. But more specifically, we are to be in the community of the faithful. The church. And listen, God wants us to encourage one another. He wants us to build each other up. And the apostolic exhortation to us is, put some thought into it. Put some thought into it and figure out how we might better encourage one another in 2020. Well, beloved, I hope some of that's been practically useful. That was my intent. If we don't aim at something, we'll hit a home run of nothing. So let's be targeted. Let's be focused. Let's keep our eyes on the prize, godliness. And the end of godliness, our God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Attend while God's exalted Son doth His own glory show. Behold, I sit upon my throne, creating all things new. Nature and sin are passed away, and the old Adam dies. My hands a new foundation lays. See the new world arise. I'll be a son of righteousness to the new heavens I make. None but the newborn heirs of grace my glories shall partake. Mighty Redeemer, set me free from my old state of sin. O, make my soul alive to Thee. Create new powers within. Renew mine eyes, inform mine ears, and mold my heart afresh. Give me new passions, joys, and fears, and turn the stone to flesh. Far from the regions of the dead, from sin and earth and hell, and the new world that grace has made, I would forever dwell. Please stand with me for prayer. Let us pray. O Lord, length of days does not profit me, except the days are past in thy presence, in thy service, to thy glory. Give me a grace that precedes, follows, guides, sustains, sanctifies, and aids in every hour, that I may not be one moment apart from thee, but may be in reliance upon thy Spirit, to supply every thought, speak in every word, direct every step, prosper every work, build up every mode of faith, and give me a desire to show forth thy praise, testify of thy love, and advance thy kingdom. I launch my bark on the unknown waters of this new year, with thee, O God, as my harbor, thee, O Son, at my helm, thee, O Holy Spirit, filling my sails. Guide me with my loins girt, my lamp burning bright, my ears open to thy calls, my heart full of thy love, my soul free. Give me of thy grace to sanctify me, thy comforts to cheer me, thy wisdom to teach me, thy right hand to guide me, thy counsel to instruct me, thy law to judge me, and thy presence to stabilize me. May thy fear be my awe, and thy triumphs my joy. In Jesus' name, amen.